Now, if you look in the bulletin, you're going to see something I hope you find interesting. I'm from the pastor's desk 5 years before I was born. How many? In Qumran, over in Israel, in these caves, they found all this stuff. 5 years before I was born, just about a mile off the coast of the Dead Sea, which is between Israel and Jordan, they found in these 11 caves things that just show you God is here, amen? Things that will just, I mean, scrolls from the Old Testament, almost every book in the Old Testament, copies and copies of Isaiah, copies and copies of Deuteronomy, the real writings from, and it's 1,200 feet below sea level where it was, and they think that that's how they were preserved, but they were found in vases and in places that were rolled up and surrendered. I mean, these are things that are true. Five years before I was born, that's where they found them. And so you look at that, I read that page and see what they had, and if that doesn't make you want to know more about it, look up. They call them the Dead Sea Scrolls, and that's what they were. And this farmer guy, a shepherd, found looking for his sheep. He went in, and there's a monastery nearby, and they think that a lot of this came from that monastery. But these are all scriptures on these scrolls that were almost all gone. And then they found these artifacts, and we went to see it. We went to New York to the museum 3 years ago, and there's some coins and tools and dishes that were used. I mean, we looked at them, and maybe David's hands touched them. Amen. Solomon's hands, and have maybe Jesus touched them. We don't know, but that's how real they are. They were right there for us to see. So you read that and look it up, and you see God is real. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's sing some praise God. Marilyn, I put that in there for you to read. We want you to read the bulletin, all the things in there. All the exciting things are going on. The mayor was here last week. For those of you who know, the mayor was here last week. I'm going to share something. I hope you know. She went downstairs and she had tears in her eyes. She was crying, saying, this is what Derby needs. You need to keep preaching that. She said, I want to come back. I promise I'm going to come back. And I know that we reached out and touched another soul last week. Amen. So we're all excited. Let's sing song number one. Closer Walk in here.
Thank you.
Now, if you weren't here the last couple of weeks, you didn't know about the 30-second prayer. I pray that you're all doing that 30-second prayer where you just get alone with God. And that 30-second prayer means sometimes that you don't say a word. You just listen. We all have our needs. We all have our doubts. We all have our worries. Let God fill that. If you just cleanse your mind and give Him 30 seconds at a time where you can hear that voice and you just say, thank you, Lord. And then you feel that presence around you. It's so powerful. It shows God so many things in 30 seconds, Dominic, amen, that you trust Him, that you invite Him into your problems, that you just want Him to help you. So many shows faith. I hope and pray that you're working on that. Joanne, would you bring us into church on this beautiful October Sunday?
You can say that even through the storm. That song is saying, though I'm drowning in the storm, all is well with my soul. Amen. We have some children in the house today, everybody. We love children. They've got them some coloring books and some. We want the kids to have a lot of fun. We do. We have Christian coloring books and crayons, and we let them color pictures in there and have a nice time at church. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and pray together as we do each and every Sunday. We made it to October, church. All those things that you were worried about in July are all behind you. God is with you for tomorrow. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. That's our promise. That's the promise of the Bible to who? All who love Him. Amen. How many? There's no hyphenation in the word Christian. Amen. We're all brothers and sisters. I love praying to God for impossible. Anybody with me? You know, God loves you. Can you say that with me? God loves you. He knows you fall short daily, amen. But when you call on him every week, it just tells him that you love him, amen. And we like the God of impossible, amen. We pray for the impossible. Gary, I'm excited for you because I know that when you're sitting there and your father walks in that door, you're going to say, that was impossible, because the devil shows all the things that need to, oh, that'll never happen. But with God, how many things are possible? I love that. Amen. All things are possible. And family, I'm telling you, God gives you a new what? Family. I found out this morning from Jean that my aunt passed away this week. My wife and I have been singing in that nursing home and singing to her twice a month for the last year and a half. And it's one of those things, you know, family, that you don't know family. My Uncle Tommy never hung around with my daddy or his brother, all the other brother. He was kind of out there. And I finally met my Aunt Josephine when she went into the nursing home. And we got this bond. She was such a beautiful spirit. She was like almost 94. But you see, that's family. My aunt passes away, and Jean and my family, my church family, tells me about that. Amen. You see, that's why this family is so important. Amen. This is the family that gives you comfort, joy, and lifts you up. Amen. How can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I know where she is. I'm thankful for the time I had with my aunt. And yeah, we're going to miss her, but she was in so much pain, but you wouldn't know it by seeing her. Her back was, she had the spinal thing, and her back was all bent. But she loved the polka music, and she would never miss a show that we did. And we'd go in her room with our guitar and sing a couple of songs. It was like we gave her everything she ever needed in that time. And I know that she's in a place so beautiful now, and she's at peace and no pain. Amen. No pain again. So my heart is sad, but my heart is happy. Top half and bottom half, I don't know. But see, that's because I know God. I often worry about people who are unbelievers. When somebody they love passes away, what do they say, Marty? What do they do? Where's the comfort? What happens? And I just pray for them, because I want them to know that we have a future even after this time. Amen? I think that's worth praise for God. Give them praise, church. Well, look at Marilyn got it right. Blessed is the Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in the spirit there is no deceit.
He is blessed. He is in a place of favor. Amen. Say that with me. A place of favor. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. Keep on, my sin to you, in my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near me. You are my hiding place. Oh, this is mine. Okay. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Can I hear some joy in this church this morning? I don't know if it scares you or what the right word is, but when you hear the sermon today and you hear about what we preach on today and you read that psalm that Marilyn put in the bulletin without knowing what the sermon is, you have to realize that God is in the house. Amen. When you hear confirmation of things you're thinking about and you hear it at church, it confirms that God is in the house. And if you know that he's in the house and you came here because you called you, then you know that Sergio, God is in your life. I don't know if that makes you have an all one of them I get it moments or not, but I pray that it does. Amen. I pray that it does. Dominic and Nelly, we love you. You are family here in this church to us. But we know we have a bigger family. You're in the family of God. You're a citizen with God. So no matter where you go, we are going to still be the same family. But you know that as a family, we're excited for you. But as a family, we're going to miss your company. We're going to miss your faithfulness. We miss your presence, your calmness. That you, when you came in, there's a calmness about you. And we love you so much. Always remember that this family here is always praying for you and thinking about you. And anytime God brings you to Connecticut, we just look forward to seeing you. But we lift you up in prayer, knowing that God is leading a path for you. I just pray that you stay focused on him. Whatever trouble troubles, whatever left or right, you just stay focused on Him, because you have a calling in both your lives. The peace that you bring is not from the world. The joy that you bring is not from the world. And the blessings that you're receiving are not because you didn't earn them, Dominic. You know, you worked hard to receive those blessings. People forget that. They see people making a lot of money and think, isn't he lucky? But they don't understand the hours that it took to get to make that money. Amen? And so, Dominic, remember that God is showing you a way and lifting you up for your family. And so we just want to say that please keep in touch with us. Keep in. Deacon Gary is the man who just keeps the website live and well for us, the connection. Amen. And we pray that you never forget us. We will never, you know, just because we love you. We truly love you. And as much as we're sad that you're leaving, because we're jealous of, you know, we're happy for you and the things that are happening in your life. Amen. Give them, just our brothers and sisters, blessings. Praise the Lord. Church is so exciting. Amen? Hallelujah. I know. I couldn't agree more. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah. I just want to say this. There's a lot of talk about sports people getting on their knee during the national anthem. Okay. And no, I'm not political. Listen to me. I know what they do is what they do. But what struck me as funny, and somebody said it the other day, there was another fella who would get on his knee on the football field. And they mocked him. They mocked him. They made fun of him. They had to pose. And they said, what's he doing that for? You see, that's why I'm saying the devil's... There's a lot of people coming after us, amen, as far as Christians. People who aren't Christian. People who don't understand what it means to give God thanks. Even when you may... My brother say, why is that guy think he just made an out? Well, look at where he is. He's on the field of a professional, you know, field. So I just thought it funny. And when I heard that man say it this week, I said, you know, that is kind of funny that these people are doing what they have a right to do. How you feel about it doesn't matter. How I feel about it doesn't matter. We all have opinions. Amen. Anybody ever been wrong before? So it really doesn't matter. But what does make me smile is how Tim Tebow was mocked for praising God on the football field. Amen. So you see the double standard, and you see how walking as a Christian isn't always the easy path. Amen. I just wanted to share that with you. Because I talk about 30-second prayers, and I talk about hearing God, because I want you to hear from God. Who? I want you, Greg, to hear from God. Not from me. I want to lead you to a place where you can hear from God. Jackie, that's what I want for you, Pat. And there's, oh, and this is such a beautiful scripture. Then he said, God says to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But, say that with me, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. A still, small voice. So God is saying to you, and all the troubles that you're having, whatever you're facing, God isn't in those troubles. He's not part of the trouble. He's not part of the fire. He's not part of the worry. Amen? Can I get an amen? He is part of the solution. He is going to fix the problem. So when you're going through those things, you say, God's not there. God is already ready over here to answer your prayer. Amen? God is over here to lift you up out of the fire and the earthquake. And how does he do it? How does he talk to you? A still, small voice. He whispers. Gary, he whispers to you. Not through me. He talks to you. Art, he talks to you. He whispers. So when you get those 30-second prayers and you're alone with God, he can whisper to you. This is what you need to do. Trust me. I'll show you a way. This is how you treat this person. This is how you come against those who attack you. In that still, small voice. So all the noise of the world, you see the noise. How many see the noise? You all see. He's not in that. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Lord. He's not in that. I have a problem. I need your help. I have this dilemma. Deacon Gary has a dilemma. And I tell you where it starts. Anybody ever, it's called the range finder, Dominic. Anybody shoot a bow and arrow, they have this thing called the range finder, Lisa. And you look through this device and you push the button and it tells you exactly how far away the target is. Perfect. And you know what happens, Lisa? The person puts it down and says, no, that can't be right. And he shoots and he goes 3 feet over the target because he didn't trust the device he had in his hands telling him, Gary, am I wrong? Now there's another device that men have. George, it's round little thing. It's got a needle in it. It's called a compass. People are going to go hiking. They're going to go hunting in a mountain, and they've never been, and they use a compass, and they get to the middle of the mountain, and they look at the compass, and they say, no, that can't be right. I'm not going. The compass says, I need to go that way. I'm not going that way. I'm going to go this way. And guess what happens to them? They get lost in this compass. Now that might be for the men. I got one for the ladies. GPS. Anybody with the cell phone and the GPS in the car? You're driving in the car. You got a GPS. It says turn left. You say, no, I ain't turning left there. If you're not going to believe these things, how are you going to believe me when I talk about somebody you've never seen before? You see, how can we tell others about someone they cannot see? I'll tell you how. We got to show them Jesus. Amen. Can I get an amen? We must, by the way we act, we show them Jesus. By the words that we say, we show them Jesus. The way we treat people who come against us, we show them Jesus. Hallelujah. How we treat others, that's how we show them. I mean, the dilemma is, no matter what I tell you, I mean, you can't see. Even if you could see it, you still don't believe it. Amen. Now, Marilyn has no choice now but to leave, but believe God. Amen. David, stand up. Would you stand up? That's not David, by the way. We had a picture of David for 10 months, believing. Amen. We had to pray. There's David now. There's the answer to the prayer. He doesn't pray for that anymore. So if somebody comes up to David and said, there's no God, he said, you're out of your mind. And he won't hesitate. Amen. There are churches full of doubt, worry, and confusion. Amen? We are the people on the pulpit are preaching confusion. Are you with me? People go to church but are lost. Listen, they have no zeal. They have no fire. How many have seen it? I'm sorry, but I'm telling you the truth because I'm your pastor. I have to. They are all children of God. They are all part of our family. They are. Amen? They are, but they have no fire. I'm telling you, these people will tell you about their children like that, Marge. They'll tell you about what their kid did for an hour, and they'll talk about their grandchildren. They'll tell you everything about their grandchild. Amen? Everything about the possessions. The new boat that I bought. The new car that I bought. You should see the new bow and arrow I have. You should see. They will tell you everything, but they won't tell you about who? Jesus. Hallelujah. Seldom about Jesus. The one Jesus, the giver of all things good. Amen. They'll tell you about everything in their life. Their aches, their pains, all my back. And they'll tell you for an hour, but they won't tell you about God. They go to church every week and they leave there with no zeal, with no fire. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Maybe they're not sure. The greatest of things to share, even with their own children, God. Maybe they're not sure. We've taken God out of school. Amen? Bibles are banned. Banned. Any talk of God, Jesus, in the Bible, you get condemned, you get mocked. Amen? I mentioned Tim Tebow. I saw it on TV. People mocking him, laughing at him. Amen? Hallelujah. There's too many people spreading a mass of misinformation about God. People who don't know God telling you about God. People who don't know the Bible telling you. They'll take one scripture, then they'll be very proud of it. And they'll say, well, the Bible says you're not to judge me. They know one scripture. They don't know what it says before. They don't know what it says after. They don't even know what it means. But they can sure give you a lot about it. Amen? And we wonder why the millennials not going to, young people aren't going to church. Because churches are changing rules. Well, this isn't allowed. Well, okay, this is allowed. Oh, that wasn't allowed last year, but this is allowed this year. Amen. We don't need to change any of God's rules. God says we're all welcome in his house. Amen. Anybody walking in that door searching for him, we're all welcome. We don't need to make any more rules. Amen. When you start to study this word, then you realize the things in your life. Whose life? Your life that you have to change. Amen. That's how it works. That's how you become a Christian and part of the family. We don't have to change rules. But churches are changing rules. They're giving a mixed message, and they're giving their agendas. I know that I got people here, Bonnie. I know you believe me 100% on that. So how can we expect millennials to believe Jesus and to know him when we're telling people all these other things about him except the word of God? Amen. They're confused. They send a different message. They make up their own rules, forgetting the basic need. The basic need. Say that with me. The basic need. A personal relationship with who? God. Who needs it? Each and every one of us. Amen. Which brings me to my next point. How many people have cell phones? Okay. No, that's cool. I got one. What do you do with it at night? You recharge it, right? You plug it in, right?
Plug it in.
What happens if you didn't plug it in on Sunday night? And then you didn't plug it in, oh, I forgot, on Monday night and Tuesday night. What happens to your cell phone? Nice. Runs out of power, right? All of a sudden, this device, because you didn't plug it in, runs out of power. Sunday is your church plug-in day. You come to church. Why? Because you want to hear your pastor edify you. You want to hear your pastor preaching something that when you leave here, you're on fire. You want God in your life. You want to learn that. You want to practice that. You want to believe what he's telling you because he's telling you out of the book. And you leave here on fire. And Monday, you don't read the word. And Tuesday, you don't even talk about God. By Wednesday, your battery is what? Praise God. You charge that cell phone up every night just so you'll have it, so it's all ready to go. Hallelujah. You got six more days between Sunday. If you were here today and you didn't plug your phone in until next Sunday, you'd have nothing. Amen. If you come to church, you get on fire, but then you don't take those 30-second prayers, you don't open up the book a little, you don't read the bulletin, maybe something else, read another book, find another book. There's so many wonderful books out there by other pastors and preachers. I love Wigglesworth. God will lead you to a book that touches you to say, oh, I really love this book. And this is the funny part. Dominic, when you find a book that you love and you can't wait to share it, somebody else will look at it and they won't get anything because God led you to that book. Amen. And that's the funny thing about Wigglesworth is me. Other people have read them and said they didn't. So God will lead you to all these things that will open up the door to this book, to this Bible. And the more the doors open and the more you come here, that's why we gave you Haley's Bible book. Right, Don? Haley's Bible book that I use that. You should see mine at home. Wrinkled up, the pages are bent up, the outcover, because I use it all the time. And then I go on my computer and I have a wonderful time learning. And then because I'm feeding myself, Deacon Gary is working every day to put a Bible study together to feed you. Every day. He's here for an hour and a half that Wednesday, or Tuesday now, sorry. But he's 2 weeks getting the Bible study ready. And God is feeding. And I know, and I can tell you, I haven't talked to him, but I know that there's a mass of papers with notes that he won't even use. I've got it on my desk. If my wife, as she tell you, I got stuff that I was going to preach on today that's going to be 3 weeks from now because I keep writing it down. Dominic, I got this habit now, and it's happened to me a couple times recently. I'll be laying in bed thinking about my sermon or just thinking about God, and all of a sudden something comes in my head, Pat, and I just decided I got to get up and go out and sit down there, and I got to write. And I'm writing like a madman, just trying. And I wake up the next day, and it looks like scribble. But I had to do it in order to remember. And it's so exciting, and it'll happen to you. You won't be like writing notes, but God will feed you things. I talked to Marty. He's a songwriter. I write a lot of songs. We said, have you ever thought of a song at night? You thought of a lyric at night, and you say, well, I'll get up in the morning and I'll write it out. And you wake up in the morning and it's gone. Gone. It's the same way on Wednesday. If you haven't had any time with God, that battery charge of Sunday is starting to get a little low. The world's starting to come against you. Bad news on the TV. Your baseball team's losing. Your wife's going shopping. Whatever it is that gets you. the battery's going lower and going lower, and you don't plug in your church. You don't plug in God. And you wonder why on Thursday you're yelling and saying things and arguing and all upset, because you've removed the one that keeps you at peace. You charge that cell phone up every chance you get. But you come to discharge up on Sunday, to plug in on Sunday, and for the rest of the week, you don't plug it back in. Amen? And that message is for you. Amen? It's for you because I love doing it. If you started to do it, when something came against you, Dale, you'd have an answer for them. You'd have an answer from God. And let me tell you the answer from God, and I stand on this. When you give somebody a Bible answer, they can't argue with it, Chuck. You give them something out of the Bible, and they can't argue with you. Amen? So you want to win an argument. I know why you want to win. You know what I'm saying? You want to lead somebody somewhere. You tell them the word and give them peacefully. Amen? Once you start to shout, you've lost the battle, because God talks in that way. We should talk like that. Amen? When people start demanding things, other people stop listening. Amen? If people understood that, if they wanted something, you go and you sit down and you talk about it and you work it out, then things happen. But when you go to somebody and start demanding things, nothing ever happens. Amen? Because both bodies get firm and nobody listens. And the only way to listen is to allow it. You just have to be quiet. And to listen to God, you have to be quiet to hear that small, still voice. Amen? So we've covered a lot of things today. The range finders, my archery friends, don't believe. They don't trust it, how far it is. And the compass, people have gotten lost with the compass because they didn't believe it. Amen? And the GPS. Now, here's the thing about the GPS. Greg and I, we've been playing music for a long time. We know 17 ways to get to East Derby from here. I could get you to the Valley Diner in East Derby 4 different ways, see? So when I'm driving and my wife says, the GPS, I said, no, I know where I'm going. But I can't tell you how many times a week that I say, thank you, Lord, for that GPS, because, oh, take a left, take a right, take a left.
No, he says the most when I'm riding with you, recalculate.
Yeah, recalculate. But that only becomes because I love reading a map, and I remember the map. So all these things we have in life, and we still don't trust them. In order to trust God, we've got to work harder. So you come to church today, and by the message, and by what's in the bulletin, Psalm 32, the forgiveness, the acceptance, it's all telling you that God is here today. He's present with you today. I can feed you. I brought you to the water, and the more you drink of that water, the better your life's going to be. You got children you're dealing with. Children, my son I haven't seen, and but I keep dealing. I keep writing to him. I keep telling him I love you. And every now and then, he sends me one back. Amen. I don't give up. I look up. I don't worry. I give it to God. If there's something I can't fix, I give it to God. But I do everything I can to make sure I'm ready to receive. Amen. Are you with me? We don't have time to fall into depression. We don't have time to doubt and to worry, because those are the tools of Satan. And you're going to get so sick that when your prayer gets answered, you won't be able to enjoy it, because you've got to re-heal yourself. You see, so you walk. You come to this church on Sunday. You come to the Bible study when you can. And you get food that lasts forever. This message, I pray, lasts forever for you, because it does for me. 30-second prayers. And God loves you. You don't need anybody else telling you what to do. God wants to tell you what to do. Amen. I've just led you. Give him praise, church. That's your Father in heaven. For the things he's done. Amen. In June, you were praying. In July, you were praying. Here you are in October. God is blessing your life. God is a part of your life. You might be going through some other things, but God has got you to this point. He's not going to stop now. It's how much you want to let him in. How much you want. Just read a little bit of his word. If you use that Haley's book, open up this word, and he'll speak to you in beautiful little phrases. He'll, in a little bit of, you'll start opening up this book, and you find something that doesn't make any sense, turn the page. Just turn the page. That's all. Just find a place where, you know, God is. You want to read from John. I always like John because he loved Jesus. But Matthew has one. There's so much in the Old Testament, so many little teachings. Amen. That was from 1 Kings when God was talking to Elijah, telling him about the still small voice. Amen. That's God. Jackie, we're going to lift you up in prayer. We know that you're going through something. We know that everything feels good because you know there's no what you're, but it's, you're going through it. So it doesn't matter how little it is. We know what you're going through, and your whole family loves you, and we just want to make sure that you know that you call on us, and we're part of you, and we're going through it with you. Amen. We know that the victories, and we see the victories. Now you're going to have a victory, another victory to deal with, and come back and lift your spirit up to know that it's okay. Amen. We just love you. I'm just sorry my team beat your Orioles last night. But other than that, there you go. No. I want to make Jackie smile. That's why I said that. I mean, I know church is serious. And I know my God is real. Amen. But God says we need to edify and to lift up. And I wanted her to have a heart of, just a little heart of joy. Just to smile. Say, hey, she can smile. We're all going through things together, but I wanted her to smile. Made my heart happy, and I know that it made God's heart happy. I mean, that's why we do and say what we do in this church. Amen. That's why this church is different. That's why we're believing for the impossible in Derby and the impossible in Connecticut. I'm believing for it, even though I don't see it. Even though I look around and see churches falling apart and churches closing, and I look and we don't have 100,000 people. I watch TV and I see guys with 10,000 people. I said, no, that's not my calling. This is our calling. This is our time to be those churches. Amen. We can make it happen in our families' lives. And isn't that the greatest blessing of all? And when you watch TV and you watch those people, it's not enough. Amen. It's not enough. You might get fed a good word, and it's a nice thing. But when you turn the TV off, who are you left with? You're left with yourself. But when you come to church, and you come to church and you become part of the family, when the service is over, look around. You have a new family to call on, a new family to lift you up. People you didn't know 6 months ago that might come over and help you with everything you didn't know how to do. Amen. God sends people to people. And I know that Dominic and Nelly, God is sending you to help people in Texas. And I really believe that you have a word of God inside of you that's going to change people's lives. I could tell by the way you act. I could tell your comfort and your ease with yourself. And Nelly, I could just see it. And then those are blessings. Amen. And I know you're going to bring blessings to Texas. But God's calling us here in Derby to bless one another. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's do it. Let's do the Lord's Supper. The greatest gift he gave us. Right, Gary? And all he asks of his children is to remember him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He took that bread and he blessed and broke it. He said to eat, this is my body being torn for you. Do this in remembrance of me, deacons. Thank you. Stop short of talking about Jesus. They hide the greatest blessing they can share with their children. When they hide Jesus, tell them that God is blessing our lives. How we got to where we are today is because of God. in your family life, in your home life, in your relationships, in your school, with your boss. Show them Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We need to tell them about God, about His love and His mercy. We do this in remembrance of Jesus, in Jesus' name. What separates us from the world is that we accepted Jesus into our hearts. We asked Him in. We invited Him in. And that blood that He shed on that cross is to cover us from our sins, because He loved us first and now we love Him. It's for everybody who receives, everybody who accepts. The promise is for all who will receive. He poured the wine into a cup, blessed it, and said, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins." And that blood will last forever in Jesus' name, until His coming back. Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Lord. And remember the mistakes we made. We look back and see where God carried us through. We look back to see where God got us from to today. And we look forward, wanting to be better, wanting to be stronger than we were yesterday. Each day we renew, like we should renew our vows with our husbands and wives. We should renew them every morning. Every day, give God thanks when you walk into that job. Give God thanks for a school to go into. Give God thanks for things in your life. There are people in this world who don't know if they're going to eat today. They don't know where they're going to be tomorrow. But you know, God has blessed us with so much. We need to thank Him over and over and tell others about Him. We need to be confident enough to say, "God gave this to me. God brought this love into my heart." Even in relationships that didn't work out, there still can be love, still can be understanding. There doesn't need to be anger. Situations that happened 20 years ago, it's time to let them go, because that has kept you in bondage. The other person may have forgot about it a long time ago and didn't even know it, but the devil knew what your weakness was, and he kept you in bondage. God's saying, "It's all gone. I've taken care of that already." You don't worry about the flat tire you had 10 years ago or the car that stole on the highway. You don't worry about that because it's behind you. So let it all go. Let it all go. Today is your first day with God all over again. Today is your recharge day. Your chance to charge it up to the top and keep it charged till next Sunday. Until you're dragging people to church any way that you can, because you know that this is where they need to be. And they'll stop kicking, I promise. God will touch them. And then they'll thank you. Thank you for bringing them to a place where their life can change. As long as we stay focused on the Bible and His Word and His teaching, we don't make new rules. We don't mix it up. We just give them God. We know that we will have victory. We have God's Word for that. There's no hyphenation in the word Christian. We are citizens to His family. We are family, brothers and sisters together. And we do this in this house in remembrance of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. How many can praise Him now? Can you praise Him, church?